Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. It's been a while.
I know, I've missed you.
As you should.
It has been, gosh, is it 3 weeks? I've been on the road.
I know. Where have you been? Traveling?
Serious miles. Yeah, traveling for work. But of course, I have to eat my way across Georgia, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think Savannah was my favorite.
Really?
I could have spent a lot more time there. But you know what I enjoyed was the little barbecue dumps. And I know it's probably not safe for me to always go into them, but
right.
If you stand tall and talk barbecue, they welcome you. And
you get the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I touched all four corners of the state and everything in between and definitely ate my way across Georgia. But it's always great to come back home because Atlanta is home to fantastic restaurants. And, you know, we get a lot of requests on the Atlanta Business Radio Show for success stories. People always want to hear good news. You know, the economy's not so great right now, and people want to hear about businesses that are doing well, that have rich tradition, and have really stood the test of time. And our guest this morning, I'm so honored to have the owner of McKendrick Steakhouse, Doug McKendrick, with us, and Rick, who is the manager who's been there as long as I can remember, and Tom, the chef. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, y'all.
Well, thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
So I got to know, first of all, from Doug, how long has McKendrick's been around, and what's your history in the restaurant business?
Well, basically, I was a CPA with Arthur Anderson at one time, and just wanted to get out of that, and I started in the restaurant business in 1979. Actually, I had a disco. It was called Elan, which is in the same building that we're in right now. And that kind of transformed into McKendrick's in 1995, and we've been there for 15 years and just signed our lease for another 15 years, so we're real happy with that.
Wow. You know, that's one of the first places I ate at when I moved to Atlanta, so it was about 1995, and I remember friends of ours took us there because it was the best steakhouse, and having lived here for 16 years, I would agree. And people keep coming back. What would you attribute the success to as far as, you know, people continue to come back?
Well, I think probably three things. You know, we always buy the best quality products, and I think Tom Mancello's probably heard me say quality, quality, quality 1,000 or 1,000,000 times by now. I think our staffing, practically, if you check our staff out, our waiters probably, there's nobody that hadn't been there more than 12 years, and a lot of them the whole 15 years, and I think that's a big thing, and I think our management's been extremely strong. And Tom has been with us 9, 10 years, and Rick has been there 6 or 7 years, and that makes a huge difference rather than walking into a place and there's a new GM. Oh, you're new. What's your name? It really makes a huge, huge difference.
So how have you been able to keep that corporate culture to retain these people in an industry that's known for turnover?
Probably I try to stay out of their way and let them run the business.
That's good. You don't like to micromanage, look over his shoulder?
Well, I've always believed in flying the helicopter. There's so many aspects in a restaurant business or any business, and I think you need to fly a couple miles up there, and when there's a problem, you need to land your helicopter, get out, fix the problem, but then what's the next step you do? You get back in your helicopter. Because an awful lot of places... you'll see a chef is running the place, and he's running the back of the house very well, and the front of the house is not doing as well as it should. Or vice versa, if you have a front-of-the-house guy and he doesn't know the kitchen, it works that way also. So I think that's probably the big thing is people and always buying quality. When sales are down and the economy's tough, you can't go out and buy a cheaper product. You start doing that, and you'll just kill your quality.
So, Rick, how long have you been with Doug and the Kendricks?
It's right at 6 years. And actually, chat and funny story, I was up the street at a different place. We were neighbors, but we met in California.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, so it was a strange event. Evolved from there, and October's 6 years.
Wow. Did you meet at something food-related in California?
Well, food and golf-related.
Actually, I think it was wine-related.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We were out there on a wine thing with Gallo.
Gallo, a benefit tournament.
Yeah.
With the NFL, actually. So, yeah.
And he wasn't a real good golfer, so I figured maybe he was a good manager.
You know, when golf's good, you know, and you must not be at the restaurant a lot. So, you know, if you're bad, you're kind of okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good strategy.
Definitely. Now, Tom, you've been with McKendrick's for a long time as well.
Right, Nine years.
Tell us about your history. I mean, what have you always been at steakhouses, or what do you like about the creativity of McKendrick's?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, I did start out culinary student of American, Hyde Park, New York. Came right down to Atlanta and worked for Buckhead Life for about 9 years before going over to McKendrick's. And I think one thing I like about McKendrick's is that it's not a corporate type of restaurant. It's not a chain restaurant. And, you know, we have the freedom to do some great food there and get some great product in.
So what's an example of something you were allowed to do that maybe you wouldn't be allowed to do in a corporate restaurant?
I would say getting Japanese Wagyu straight from Japan. It's not the American Wagyu. It is, you know, the real genuine Wagyu.
So there's a difference?
Oh, yes, a big difference. Yes, this is $77 a pound. It costs me very, very expensive. We do a lot of different seafood from around the world, and we have a lot of good contacts with fresh seafood.
How do you come up with ideas? Ideas?
I do.
You watch the Food Channel?
I watch the Food Channel.
You should be on the Food Channel.
I do a lot of reading, but, you know, with Facebook and with Twitter, right now there is so much information out there, it's unbelievable, right at your fingertips. And a lot of times, you know, I might not tweet or it might not be on Facebook, but just reading the information that you can get from all over the world just is fantastic.
How has the Food Network and all the food shows impacted your business?
I'm not sure how much it impacted our business.
Do you have a more educated consumer now or more curious consumer?
I definitely think so, yes.
So, y'all, how do you market your establishment? Because it's not like on a big thoroughfare where people drive by it regularly. How do you go about marketing it? Maybe that's a better question for Rick.
It's a couple of things. You know, a lot of it is strictly the old tradition, word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree,
you really can't beat. You know, it ties right into what we were talking about earlier when, you know, we're a one. You know, when people are entertaining and they go out, they've worked all day, they want to come somewhere where they feel at home and they're relaxed, but they want the best of the best because they're paying.
Right.
And so it kind of, they can go to different stores throughout, different restaurants throughout the country, but when they come to Atlanta on home turf, here's my restaurant I'm taking you to, and I'm going to showboat. And, you know, it's our job to make it perfect. And Chef's done a good job of, he's created a blog, and he's got tied in with a lot of blogs around the country, which has been very nice. And Tom, you may want to mention a little bit about that.
Yeah, the blog has been fun to me. It really kind of, I can take my knowledge and things like that and actually put it out there. The blog right now is seen in over 40 different countries, 50 different states, and it's just amazing, you know, the comments that I get on it and from people. But I think that, you know, people can go to our website and see our webpage, and then, you know, if you do want to know, you know, about the chef and about the food, you can go to his blog, you know, and see what, you know, kind of goes on in his inside of his head.
How do you feel about this kind of turn towards all the buy local and the, you know, all the farmers markets that are popping up everywhere?
I think it's great. I mean, I spend a lot of time at the Sandy Springs Farmers Market. I'm working with them and some of the food, you know, bring it right in from the market and do it for specials for that evening. I do a lot for their Facebook page, you know, for specials and things like that. You know, on the way to work, I'll leave early and stop down at different markets, you know, on the way to work, Super H and things like that, and the Buford Highway Market. And it's just amazing, these markets that have grown and the freshness and the just a wide variety of things that they have.
Do you think that's a fad, or you think that's going to be here for a while?
I think it's going to be here for a while. It's definitely going to be here for a while.
You know, our guests really appreciate it because, you know, if you think back, I mean, that's the way it used to be. Your mom would buy stuff at the market and bring it home. We're just doing that for them, and they appreciate it. They're like, wow, you really?
Yeah, they definitely appreciate it.
It shows you really care.
Now, Doug, I have to know, because everybody's always thinking, somebody's got a really good one-of restaurant. Are you thinking of opening others in other cities or others in Atlanta? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I have thought about that for a long time, and I like Atlanta. My home is probably 7 minutes away, and I was going to do something in Birmingham. Had a great offer over there, and I started thinking about driving over there for 2 days every week and also trying to find staffing over there and everything. And I think the only thing that I would ever consider is something locally and within a couple miles of the restaurant.
Maybe you need a bigger helicopter.
That's right.
I think I need a pilot's license too. That's a good point.
Now, I have to know about the economy because, I mean, I know it hasn't been great, but I know McKendrick's generally during the week, it's a lot of business folks. Have you seen a change at all in your traffic or business expense accounts being cut? What are your thoughts?
Just like everyone, we felt a little bit. I mean, everybody's feeling it. We're all in this ballgame together. But, again, being, you know, Chef and I are there basically every night. So when you walk in, you get the staff, you get us. You don't get just routine. You get an experience. And being, like I said earlier, being the local favorite and executing as we should every night, it's really played into our favor.
Now, are you guys doing anything like collaborating with other restaurants like they're doing downtown? Are you doing any of that in San Diego?
I think we have looked at that, but nobody's ever done it yet. Mm.
So it takes a leader, someone with vision.
Yeah, we've been thinking about it. You know, either Sandy Springs or Dunwoody,
right.
Area.
Because there's so many great restaurants. I mean, nothing personal. Yours right. is great, but you know, there's this area is just it's super competitive.
It is. And how do you stay competitive? I mean, I know that if I'm going for something special, a special dinner, McKendrick's is top of mind for me. But how do you stay competitive?
Well, I think as far as the food, it's definitely got to be the quality. Consistent quality is definitely has to be that. We have not cut back on portion sizes. We have not come back on quality also. You know, I think some people have money to go out and spend, and they're going to spend it where, you know, they can get their, mm-hmm. get quality food. I think consistency in the staff and in the kitchen also. You know, a lot of restaurants, you know, you change staff often, and it's very, very difficult to keep up the quality when you have new staff all the time.
Sure, no doubt. Doug, you must love wine because you have an amazing wine collection. How do you go about buying wine?
I think you just asked me the wrong question. I know red and white.
Oh, and, no, really?
That's been pretty much. I'm a Pinot Noir guy, and that's pretty much all I drink. And Rick will buy a couple things that I like, and then we're all set. But he's a wine guy, so let's pass that one on.
So Rick, you're the wine guy.
It is, and it's, you know, it's competitive, and there's, you know, the best thing that could ever happen for the wine market's what's happened, because now it's opened up and it's not so closed tight, and you know, wines.
What do you mean opened up?
Wines had a bad reputation of being marked up so high,
right,
and expensive, and now those prices are changing, and it allows us to pass those prices right down to the customer. And so it's tough. You know, you see it, you meet every winemaker. Fortunately, we're on their map. When they come to town, they want to come see McKendrick's.
Sure.
And so it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of chatting. It's a lot of just talking to the guest and trusting the guest. You know, they'll tell you what they like, and they'll share very openly as you go. And then you're also able to bring things to them that they might not ever buy. And they go, wow, really? I said, well, give it a try. If you don't like it, we'll figure something else. And every time they're like, well, thank you very much. It was part of the experience.
You know, and I think our staff is very well educated in wine. For being there so long, they're very, very educated with wine. Mm-hmm. So that really helps out, too.
They know the winemakers,
yeah.
You know, because they come to the restaurant and we do lineups. So when it comes through, the staff can stand there and go, well, I know him.
Yeah, and then they can say, oh, this matches well with this dish. And
right.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do tastings and things like that?
We do. We do. The staff is pretty much, and again, which is a little bit different, has basically had tasted almost everything on the menu because mm-hmm. we do lineups with the either distributor or the right. Or the winemaker himself.
Mm-hmm. So an educated wait staff that helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
The experience for the customer.
Without a doubt. Now, do you have private rooms for parties and holidays coming up? I mean, believe it or not, people are starting to think about Christmas parties.
We do. And, you know, we actually just sent out a large email. We're actually offering 10% if you book your holiday party now because it fills up so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift back to them. You know, we appreciate their business over the years. And as they go and get in and book with us, we give back. We have two. We have one that seats up to 20, and we have one that seats up to 55 that can be both booked privately.
I had a Christmas party at your place about 4 years ago, and the people are still talking about it. There were, I think, 16 of us, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, for some people, they've never had a meal like that before in their life.
Right.
And it was spectacular, definitely. So how can people book a holiday room or book a private room with you?
They go right to our website, you know, go through there, then call the restaurant directly. You know, it's kind of whatever's easiest for them. You know, it's real simple on the website. You go right there, it takes you right to the reservations. Phone number's there, address is there. If you want to call with questions, you can immediately call. So it's just very simple.
To wrap it up, Tom, I would love for you to describe one of your favorite dishes to our listeners.
That's what I was going
to
say. The go-to.
Yeah. What is the go-to dish? I mean, because everything
what's
is good so
now?
Good.
It's seasonal, right? So you have something now that you guys are part of?
Yeah, it's just coming in season, and I fly in from Hawaii, and it's a Hawaiian snapper, and it's called Onaga. And very, very unusual, very, very fresh, the flavor of it. Actually, I have some in today, and tonight we'll be running that with a Thai barbecue sauce. Thai barbecued fresh onaga. It'll be with lobster mashed potatoes and some kind of grilled vegetables as soon as I go to the market after this.
So we don't know what those vegetables are.
Not yet. Let's go see what's fresh.
Lobster mashed potatoes. Yes. That sounds sinful, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, my mouth is watering over here.
The lobster mac and cheese now is very popular also.
Really?
Yes. Not on the menu. You do have to ask for it.
So it's available.
It's available.
See that? See that tip? Insider tip?
And we get a lot of guests asking for the white truffle oil on top of the lobster mashed potatoes or mac and cheese.
So you have your menu, but that's just a jumping off point.
We have a number of items that are not on the menu. Right now we're doing a dry aged 16-ounce New York strip. We're doing a 30-ounce tomahawk chop. It's a bone-in 30-ounce, yes.
That's and you, a, get, you get a T-shirt boy. If you finish that?
You can keep bone. Skip lunch, too. Just come on in.
You get a bone for your dog.
Wow.
That's good. Do people eat that?
Oh, yeah.
30 ounces. That's like 2 ounce. Pounds.
Almost, yeah. It's almost 2 pounds.
Wow.
And we'll sell 25 to 30 a week. Yeah, and they're dry aged, and the flavor is unbelievable with the dry aging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet. My mouth is watering. Rick, give us your website and your location one more time for our listeners that can't wait to try that lobster mac and cheese.
It's www.mckendricks.com. Just McKendrick's, no McKendrick Steakhouse. And then it's 4505 Ashford Dunwoody Road, which is directly across the street from Perimeter Mall.
Doug, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I don't. I just hope
how'd they do? I know you were kind of watching them.
I thought they did real well. Matter of fact, I was real impressed. Real impressed. But thank you all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you all for being with us today. What a wonderful tradition in Atlanta. And I really encourage our listeners, if you have a special occasion or you just want to treat yourself right, go to McKendrick's. It's definitely the best meal you'll ever have. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, when it comes to eating in Atlanta, there are lots of different options. And gosh, I mean, you think about it, Lee, we're spoiled here.
Yes, we are.
We are so spoiled.
I know, but you have go-to places. I know you like McKendrick's as a go-to.
Yeah, always have.
For steak, but what about other ethnic? Where do you go?
You know, it depends.
Chinese, where do you go for Chinese?
I go to that place that you turned me on to, Canton Cooks.
Canton Cooks, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the fact that it's owned by...
my neighbors across the street.
Yeah, I love that. And it's always good. I like places with consistency. Uh-huh. And I also like it if you can order off the, you know, kind of deviate from the menu a little bit.
Because
like,
you're very creative. You have a culinary background.
I think I might add a little bacon or prosciutto to that mac and cheese with lobster.
You got that, Tom? Writing that down?
And a glass of red wine. I don't know, maybe scotch. Who knows? Our next guest this morning, I'm thrilled to meet him because I've heard a lot about the company, Marcus Collier from 31 Lunch. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning.
So tell us, what is 31 Lunch?
Well, 31 Lunch is a new restaurant, new business caterer. We specialize in and focus on the business catering market. So if you're an admin or an office manager or someone looking to cater a meeting, high school, PTSA, club meeting, 31 Lunch is probably your best bet.
And where does the food come from?
The food, our vendor, we use a Broadliner. Cisco is our Broadliner. And our food is fresh, and we make it to order. Every order is made to order.
So tell us again about your target audience or your target market.
Our target audience, again, is the business community. We do a lot of business with pharmaceutical reps. We're making ties and inroads into the educational market. So we're going after departments of colleges and universities, dormitories, fraternities. And again, but our primary customer is that admin who's ordering catered meals for her office.
So what does 31 Lunch mean?
Well, one of our founders, Argus Wiley, is from Texas. And the main artery through Texas is Interstate 35. And he was sitting around one day after a football game, and he was thinking about his next venture. Argus is an entrepreneur. He's He's run a few restaurants here in the Atlanta area and back in Texas. He was formerly with Jason's Deli. He brought Jason's Deli to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was thinking of his next venture, the road sign, our logo is a road sign that has 31 and the word lunch underneath the 31. That image popped into his head, and that's what stuck in his head. The actual terminology 31 lunch is we can do lunch 31 days a month, basically.
Okay, so tell us about any promotions or anything you have coming up. I heard something about August 31, 31 days of lunch.
For the month of August, we're doing 31 days of 31 lunch. Our menu is fairly inexpensive in comparison to our market rivals. And on top of those savings, we discounted our menu even further. So we've combined items. We've done group combinations of items that we don't normally carry on our menu.
What's an example of a meal that you serve?
We specialize in sandwiches. So just about any kind of sandwiches that you can think of. We just started some menu engineering, and we added a few more wraps to our menu. Chicken Caesar wrap. I donated a meal to a local charity organization yesterday, and they were our test dummies
for the wraps,
yeah. And they
let
it
go. They survived.
Actually, it was for if you don't mind me mentioning the organization, it's One Love Generation, and they mentor kids from East Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
And I got the kids to eat a chicken Caesar wrap.
Wow.
Sneak in the vegetables. Nice.
For me at 7, I don't think I'd be eating a chicken Caesar wrap, but those guys ate it up, so I'm glad they liked it.
Well, that's a good thing. Now, do you have other affiliations with non-for-profits?
Well, we have an affiliation, again, with One Love Generation. We are associated with the GRA. We're a new proud member of the GRA.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing something for total blank there. We're going to be doing something for Share Our Strength, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big,
huge
thing here in Atlanta and nationally.
So mm-hmm. How do you get into these companies? Like, you want to go in there and you want to kind of, that you want them to pick you for their corporate lunches and their meals, right, when they're doing an event or something?
Right.
So how do you get in front of them? And that must be a lot of work.
A little thing that in the industry is what's called riding elevators. We'd ride elevators all day up and down local business buildings, commercial areas, and we talk to the admin, we talk to the concierge in the building. Anyone who is interested in catering, we try to get our menu in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
For a business like 31 Lunch, we depend on those people, and we give them samples. We offer samples. We offer heavily discounted meals so we can convince them to use us.
Right.
We like to point out the difference between 31 Lunch and the competitors in the market like Jason's Deli and Atlanta Bread, Panera Bread, those kind of companies.
And what are the big differences?
Well, the differences for us initially are for the guest, for the client, is the price.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a storefront, we do nothing but catering. Mm-hmm. We can have lower prices than, say, a McAllister's or a Jason's Deli.
Mm-hmm.
They have costs that we don't have.
Okay.
And we can pass those savings on to our guests. It has been my experience that some people are not very satisfied with some of the other competitors,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they are not satisfied with, we can offer them.
Mm-hmm. So you're better customer service and, you know, kind of the little things, anticipating the needs, and that you can be more nimble, as opposed to these big corporate companies.
Exactly. When you call it Jason's Deli or any other one of our competitors, because they have a storefront, they're going to be serving that customer in the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
We answer the phone when you call.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Is it a franchise, or are there franchising opportunities available?
There are franchising opportunities available. Our first franchise is in Alpharetta, and they just opened their doors last Friday, and they are doing gangbusters.
Oh, I bet. In that area, there's so many businesses.
They're in Alpharetta. They're right across from a few larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some competition in the market, but they're doing very well for someone right out of the gate.
Oh, terrific.
That's great.
How do people find out about these franchising opportunities? Do you have a website?
You can go to our website, 31, the number 31lunch.com.
Right, that's 31 lunch.
31. And there's opportunity, there's information you can find
right,
out.
That has everything there, right? The franchise, the menu, like if you right. want to call you to book something.
Correct.
And how much time does a customer need to call in advance?
You can call us.
Like it's 10:30 now, so I have something at noon. Is that too? Is that enough time?
That is plenty of time. We have a fleet of delivery drivers, nice, courteous, friendly, and knowledgeable delivery drivers. They can get it to wherever it needs
to be. And where is the area that you cover?
We cover all of Metro Atlanta. We've gone as far north as Gainesville and as far south as Macon.
Wow. So yeah. You really cover the area.
We cover the area, yes.
Terrific. And is your menu available online?
Our menu is available online. You also have the opportunity to sign up with our VIP club where you get additional discounts. There's also a link to where you can sign up to win a free lunch for your office. So you can be an office hero and get a free lunch for your office.
Any size office?
Up to 25 people.
Wow.
We're not feeding the Falcons.
Lee, we got to sign up for that for our next big meeting.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got one of those coming up in that conference room.
That's right. We do them every few months.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So give us the website one more time, and if there's a phone number that you would like to put on the website so folks can reach you, Marcus,
sure.
That'd be helpful.
The website, again, is www.31lunch.com. And the number to our offices is 1-877-31-LUNCH.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest today. I know we've got a lot of listeners that are business owners and admin folks that are looking to do something different and mm-hmm. bring something a little bit more creative into their office for lunch. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
We appreciate it. That's it. You know, when I used to have to take lunches into doctor's offices.
Yes,
that was
back in the day.
Back in the day.
Before Marcus.
Yeah, and none of them would deliver, and that was always the worst, is ending up with like a whole Coke on your seat or mayonnaise on your floor mat. It was nasty.
That's why you should never use mayonnaise.
You probably never use mayonnaise, do you?
I don't like mayonnaise.
No? People either love it or hate it. But now, you never know. You might not be getting the right mayonnaise.
No,
if you
I
had
am.
The right food service provider, you might get better mayonnaise. Our next guest this morning, you know, we're talking about food, and all this food comes from somewhere, Lee.
Your farm.
Well, some of it comes from the farmer's market, but not everyone can have everything come from their garden. Our next guest this morning is Jennifer Howell of Performance Food Service. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer should be on TV, not radio. Would you agree?
Yes.
Look at her, man.
Well, both of you.
For those of you that are listening, gosh, I'm sorry you can't see Jennifer, and you'd never know she's
please.
In the food business. Because I always say you shouldn't trust a skinny chef or, well, you know, someone.
Everybody here was skinny
today. I know. They must be working hard. They must be working really hard. Jennifer, tell us about Performance Food Service.
Performance Food Service is a broadline distributor, basically specializing in everything a restaurant needs from the second you walk in the door to the, you know, all the way back to the house. So we have everything from fresh produce to beverages, center of the plate, frozen items, dry goods, everything that you need.
Wow. I've always wondered how they stock the kitchen and all those huge things of cinnamon. And I knew
Do you want to know the behind the scenes? Do you want to know what that looks like?
I want to know. That's why I'm so thrilled that Jennifer's here, because I've seen the big containers and
well,
I
you
know
see
they
those
don't come
trucks,
from Publix.
Those huge trucks come.
Yeah,
you have a huge truck?
We have many huge trucks, several.
What is it, a nationwide company, Performance Foods?
It is. Performance Food Service locally, our local OPCO, is out of Oakwood, and we are currently all over. There are several different OPCOs throughout the country. We are a 10...
What's an OPCO?
I'm sorry, operating company.
We're talking acronyms here.
You knew that?
I didn't know that, but I'm making notes.
But locally, we are out of Oakwood. We do basically sell and distribute food all over the Atlanta area, all the way down to Macon and beyond, all the way over to the border and past into Alabama. We actually are just starting to cover Charlotte, North Carolina, which we are very excited about. But we do cover the South Carolina market around Greenville and surrounding areas and all the way up to the mountains of Georgia. So locally, we have a large area that we have to basically drive to
So your clients deliver. Are primarily restaurants, or are they grocery stores or everything?
Pretty much everyone and everything that serves and sells food. We have restaurants, daycare centers, assisted living facilities, hospitals, jails, arenas, anywhere that you think would, you know, sell or serve food. That's our target market.
So what differentiates you from the competition? I mean, we heard about McKendrick's talking about the quality of food, and I know that there's probably a difference from one food service to another. What differentiates your company?
For us, I think we feel definitely customer service is number one. We all carry products. We all carry food. But for me, we strive to, you know, instill in our sales reps customer service, integrity, honesty, and loyalty. And we definitely have a wonderful, loyal base of customers that we are so appreciative of and continue, you know, to do business with, have done so for years. And that's really what it's about, is relationships.
Yeah, definitely. Like most businesses, it does come down to the relationship. What are some things that have changed in your industry in the last few years?
I would say number one would be technology. What we have available now is just unbelievable, from GPS guidance systems in our delivery vans to online, you know, our website. We are starting Facebook now. Obviously, you know, when sales reps first got into this business years ago, they had to handwrite their orders. And now it's, you know, we have wireless cards that we can transmit orders from our computers. Technology definitely has to be number one. We have an amazing marketing department that is able to put out some point of sale for us as far as, you know, what we feature and advertising and coupons for the customers, and just so much that we are able to do that we haven't been able to do in the past.
Now, when you're working with, like, say you're working with a restaurant, do you make suggestions for them, or do you just
absolutely
bring them whatever they want?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the one thing also that we work for is that, you know, everybody can take an order. Everyone can take a food order, but what you bring to the table for your customer above and beyond that is what makes us stand out, I feel. Menu suggestions, inventory, costing out the goods, cost comparisons from our competitors, ideas. We have an excellent corporate chef. He was actually on the Olympic culinary team. We won the gold. Woohoo!
That's awesome.
So he definitely is very involved in the street, visiting our customers. He just is so talented.
So can you walk us through that a little bit, just so that the people get an understanding about how that would impact their business? Like, so you're a restaurant, and your chef could come into my restaurant and make suggestions, or just kind of share, hey, these best practices, or this works well, or have you tried this? This is new. And do they do things like that?
Definitely. And you obviously have to be conscious of who you're walking into,
right,
because
no,
some chefs, you know, would not appreciate the suggestions of ours. But no, there are many out there that are owners that don't have, you know, a experienced chef, maybe just a line cook working back there, or even chefs that just want additional ideas from a peer of theirs. But yeah, typically the sales rep would set up an appointment for the chef to come out, and it basically, they would obviously ask ahead of time also what their interests are, what they would like to feature, any specialty items, and then the chef could develop a menu based on those items. We also offer customers the ability to come up to our test kitchen and work there. So that's definitely an addition.
That's in Oakwood?
It is.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe. It is. It's a lot of fun. He just is able to do everything that you know, you just don't see out there that often. There's, to have a chef that involved is truly, it's an added bonus. It really is.
Yeah, I would say the meeting of the minds would be interesting too. I'd love to see two chefs sit down and hammer it out.
That'd be a good show here. Get a bunch of chefs on here and let them
That would be for TV for sure.
That sounds like a reality TV show.
I think that should be your next venture.
There
Absolutely. Reality TV.
I think that sounds like an interesting, and add the catering business to it too, because that has a whole stress in and of itself.
Right.
I mean, usually has, you know, the timeline, and yeah, that definitely has a lot
behind
of
the scenes and food service.
Mm. Yeah,
to be a fly on the wall.
To be a fly on the wall is interesting because you're being a female in a male dominated industry.
Is that a male dominated industry?
I would say definitely when I entered the industry 9 years ago, it was. I could count on one hand how many female sales reps there were in the company, but it is definitely expanding now to include both genders. I think typically, you know, the reason it was male-dominated for so long is mostly behind the scenes in the kitchen were, you know, males. Females, there weren't that many female chefs years ago, and now there are, which is opening the doors for everybody. But it's a good thing. I think also, you know, with being a female, you are able to add the more nurturing side of you to customers and, you know, maybe to a fault sometimes when you want to just drop everything and take care of them. But sometimes you have to, you know, be able to continue to do your work and move forward. But definitely customer service is going to continue to be our number one focus, whether you're a male or a female.
How has the weather affected your industry and like the oil spill and things like that?
It's definitely been a rough couple of years, I would say. I mean, we've continued to open new business and grow. But definitely the economy has taken its impact over the past couple of years. The weather this summer has been obviously, for those of you that even step outside, you know that it's been very hot. And a lot of people, I feel, you know, it's difficult to grab your family and put them in a car when it's 100 degrees outside and go eat. So I definitely feel that has taken its toll this summer. But, you know, it's fall, football season's around the corner, and things are picking up. As far as the oil spill goes, we've had our challenges. I think restaurateurs also, you know, trying to those like McKendricks that buy direct, regardless of whether you're a food service provider or an independent operator, it's taken its toll. But we've continued to be able to supply our customers, whether we find another source and move forward. But it's, you know, it was heartbreaking. It's horrible to watch something like that, and you know, it doesn't just affect us. You know, the people of New Orleans and the surrounding Gulf areas, the tourist industry. So much has been affected by that. So
you obviously love what you do. I mean, when you talk, you light up. But you were a teacher for years. What a difference from teaching to...
You taught food classes?
No, I actually taught at middle school. I was 6th grade math, 7th, 8th grade Spanish, 8th grade American history, science. I did it all. I even actually coached basketball and cheerleading at the time. You know, I loved it. I feel blessed to be able to look at my life and say that I've had two careers that I was absolutely passionate about. And, you know, I'm able to still use my teaching experience now as a manager, training constantly and educating the new reps that come on board that maybe don't have food service experience and are coming from a different field, or those that enter from a background still have to educate on product knowledge, the technology that we use, et cetera. So it's been great.
And your husband's in the food industry too, right?
He is. It's Jason actually is my husband. He works. He's a district manager for Royal Cup Coffee. So to have the same titles in the same industry with share, you know, we share many of the same customers. Needless to say, our kids hate dinner conversations because they're bored to tears. But we love it. We love it.
When you get home, are you too tired to cook, or are you just too tired of seeing food all day? What do you do?
No, I'm never too tired to see food. That's just silly, Amy. But cooking is definitely not my strong suit. It's more the time. I enjoy it when I have the time, but obviously working full-time and being a mother of two small boys, time is not... I don't have enough of it.
Right. No, I can relate to that for sure.
So I can say we definitely patron a lot of our restaurants. I'll, you know, the last appointment of my day, I'll usually grab a bunch of to-go items and bring it home. But, you know, and I do cook some, and it's just, it does make it difficult. I mean, it's a full day, and my job doesn't end when I walk in the door. There's still emails and forms that need to be filled out, et cetera. So, but it's great. I mean, I continue to say that I love what I do. I love who I do it for. I think Performance Food Service is an amazing company to work for. Our senior staff is excellent. The people that we work with everywhere from customer service to operations to the sales reps, I think everyone would agree that we are a family. And that is, I think, what makes us different. I don't feel or ever felt, even when I started with the company, that I was just a number. I was Jennifer, and even the president knew my name, which I think is very, you know, it's hard to say that in large companies now, but I'm still so happy to say that that Performance Food Service is a family.
Wow, and it is all about the relationship. How often do we hear that on the
right.
show?
No, it's critical.
It definitely is, whether it comes to McKendricks and their clients and how they get them in, or Marcus and how he relates to his customers. Definitely all about the relationship. Jennifer, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully being able to look and say that I was able to take my team to where they want to be financially. Obviously, my number one job is to make my district successful. I would love to be able to say that they are. You know, looking forward is difficult to do. Right now, I'm concentrating on my current position. Obviously, there are many opportunities within the company, but for right now, I'm just going to continue focusing on what I do and hope to do it the best that I can.
And you do it well.
Oh, actually, you're so flattering.
You want to know something? Jennifer came to us. She was nominated as a guest from another guest of ours who buys food from her, which is Fresh and Fit Cuisine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Penny and Brent said, hey, you got to interview Jennifer. This is an awesome company. And like I said, we love to put the spotlight on great companies in Atlanta. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you both so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
If someone's listening and they own a restaurant, or if Doug McKendrick just might have lost your business card and needs to call you.
I think he has 100 posted somewhere in the office. I know, Rick, if you're listening, you're tired of seeing my face. I'm sure it was funny when we saw each other this morning. But if anyone does want to get in touch with us, you can definitely go online, www.pfgmiltons.com. Also, you can contact us, 770-532-7779.
Terrific. Thanks so much for being with us today, Jennifer. Great show, Lee.
Yeah.
As you know, I love to eat.
And she brought food. And you know how important that is.
I did bring food, and you know, can I give the shout out?
Yes.
If y'all have not heard or have been to BB's Bagels, it's a hidden gem. By far the best bagels you can get in Atlanta. And
yes, I'll vouch for that.
They are fantastic.
I make special trips from here.
Get out.
Twice a month to McFarland Road.
Oh, he's not the only one. I mean, we have sales reps that live downtown that will drive specifically. These are,
whoa.
Yes,
no,
I brought you.
These bagels are as big as...
Coming from
so
you, Lee, I mean, you love bagels.
Exactly.
I'm not a bagel connoisseur, but I know you are, and
no.
So is Abby.
See, I am. I'm very, very picky when it comes to bagels, but these are the true,
This is the real deal.
All right. BB's, I can't wait to experience it.
If you are interested, they are located off McFarland Road in 400. Easy to find.
Terrific. Gosh, I'm going to go have a bagel.
Now, this place is so funny. I was telling the McKendrick people, you drive up there, right? And you turn on McFarland, you turn to the left, like if you're going north.
Right.
And then there's nothing there on McFarland, right? Like it's just like desolate. It's like granite sails and like just nothing.
Stone. I'm trying to think.
Right,
I've been up there. I go up there for chicken feed.
I'm sure you do. That's where it would be. And then all of a sudden you see this silver diner on the left and it's got a million cars. Like it's always packed.
You're
always
kidding
packed.
Me.
Sometimes there's like wait out the door. To go in there.
Always. Well, and it doesn't matter what time of day.
Right.
They obviously close right after lunch, but it doesn't matter when it is. There are always people there, and obviously for a reason.
Why'd they put it there?
Very good question. I don't know. I think the location was available. The previous owners left, and they took advantage of it. But
wow.
It is hidden.
Slamming. That place is slamming all the time.
All right. So we got to get BB's on here to tell us
their
success story.
Yeah.
And the other one is Dutch Monkey Donuts. We've got to get
been there,
on.
Too.
Yeah, which is up there.
Right, that's even
exit
farther.
13. I know.
That's one exit out there.
On Saturdays, the line is wrapped around the building.
Right.
Where is it?
Oh my gosh, Jennifer! Their specialty is a bacon wrapped donut.
Oh my goodness!
Drizzled with hot maple syrup.
They have great creative chefs. Like it's not just like a donut place.
No, and they're really big in social media, so they'll tweet their donuts of the day every morning.
And they had
it's
a
crazy.
mint chocolate.
I haven't had that one. I had a mango-filled
We
eclair.
Bought, like, a bunch of variety. It was an amazing place.
It's crazy.
I'll have to check it out for sure.
It's sort of across from the avenues.
You'd never find it. Like you have to accidentally bump into it. Now, really, it's on the side.
I'm going to go searching. Watch out, people. I'm coming with my business card. You got to buy your food from somewhere.
But they have they have like glass you can look in while they make it. It's cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Quirky. I can't believe that. Did I turn Abby on to Dutch Monkey through Facebook,
maybe?
We found that.
We went to a movie up there by the avenue.
Yeah.
And then we were looking for a place to eat, and then we saw the sign. Like, you see it because it's next to a Burger King on the side.
Exactly.
Not off the main road. It's off the side road. And we're like, Dutch Monkey. And I'm like, we're not going to drive all this way and not go to some donut place called Dutch Monkey. So he went in there and it was unbelievable.
It is. It's crazy good.
Why the name? Do you know?
We'll have to have them on. Right. I do know why, but we're out of time. But I do know why they named it Dutch Monkey, and they're looking to franchise the whole thing.
No, it's great.
Yeah. Awesome.
A+.
Jennifer, we could talk about food all day.
I want to switch to wine. That was a lot more fun. I was getting jealous with the McKendricks conversation. We don't sell it, but I drink it.
That's exactly. Good to know. Next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Jennifer. And until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful day.